Hey, what's up, everybody? How you doing? Episode number 321, Drink Until You Podcast, the only podcast that lasts until the last drop. How the hell is your Sunday going? How the hell was your week? I hope everybody's safe. Hope you're okay out there. Got some soda water with some vodka and a little squirt of lime here in my fancy, classy QT plastic cup. So if you got them, drink them. Bottoms up. Cheers, everybody. It's going to be a very DFW-focused sports 321 Drink Until You Podcast episode. We got a little bit of basketball to talk about, mainly my Dallas Mavericks. We got a little bit of baseball to talk about, just a little bit. And then first, we're going to start with the Dallas Stars game last night versus the LA Kings. Great game. We come out on top 4-1. I mean, we just came out swinging from the start. And I got to say, too, like, I don't like the LA Kings, like, silver helmets they were wearing last night. They look weird. I don't know. It's not appealing to me for whatever reason. I like silver, you know, but just on the helmet like that, it just looks strange. I don't know. It's not supposed to be like that. In my opinion, I saw some people on Twitter that did like it, but just my personal opinion, I don't like those silver helmets. But I love that old school Kings logo, that like Wayne Gretzky era, the black and the silver and the white. Oh, dude, those are freaking, they should just go back to that, man. I feel like in the 80s and the 90s, the logos for these teams, they got it all right. They shouldn't be changing them so much. You know, my Dallas Stars included that logo. If we could just have that logo back, I would be so happy. The Kings, yes, go back to that logo. Canucks, go back to that Pavel Bure logo, you know, back when he was playing, which is interesting. I saw two of my favorite players, Pavel Bure, and I remember watching this as a kid. It just reminded me the other day. That's why you follow stuff on Twitter. You know, like old school hockey clips or whatever, like that. That's awesome, man. It brings back so many memories. And there's so much stuff I didn't see back in the day. But this particular one, two of my favorite players, the Russian Rocket, Pavel Bure, and Shane Cherla, probably coming to the end of his career at this point, which Pavel Bure obviously named the Russian Rocket because he was just fast as hell, dude. You get him on a breakaway, you're not catching him, you know. Shane Cherla on my Dallas Stars, number 27, one of my all-time favorite players. Not even that he was great at hockey. He was just tough, dude. That seemed to be the theme when I was little, you know. Nolan Ryan, pretty tough. Mike Tyson, pretty tough. Shane Cherla, you know, it's just all revolved around these men who were not going to put up with other men's shit, pretty much, you know. So anyway, the clip I saw was Pavel Bure just taking a complete run at Shane Cherla. And I mean, he knocked him out cold on the ice. I mean, elbow to the jaw, went right through him. I mean, Cherla is just spinning down to the ice and just slowly comes to a stop. I mean, he got him. So I think that might have, if that didn't end his career, it wasn't much longer after that hit. And I remember that as a kid watching that, you know, two of my favorite players colliding, you know. And I even remember as a kid, I wasn't even mad at Pavel Bure. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it was probably a long time coming for Cherla, you know. Like, how many people do you think he did that to? You know, how many people do you think he laid out or knocked out by smacking him in the head? You know, what comes around goes around, as they say. You know, like one time I was in an apartment I had before, and these teenage kids or, you know, whatever, they get rambunctious, they start doing shitty stuff and, you know, vandalizing, whatever, you know. I remember they egged my door one time, and I was just, you know, woke up one morning. I didn't hear anything. I wasn't alerted to anything. I just woke up one morning, and I open my front door to, you know, see if there's a notice on my door or whatever. and my door had eggs all over it. And I started to get like mad about it. But then thinking back, I was like, you know how many people's cars I probably egged when I was, you know, a kid? How many stupid stunts I pulled when I was a kid? I probably had that one coming. You know what I mean? Like, okay, fair enough. You know, if they egged my door three more times, it'd still probably be fair enough. So it's like the same thing with Burray and Churla. It's like, as much as I didn't want to see Churla get hurt like that, it was like, well, he's probably done it. You know what I mean? He's probably done it. Uh-oh, hold on. I got to change over the laundry. I'll be right back. One sec. All right, podcast magic, and I'm back. Did I hit record? Okay. so, yeah, where were we at? Burray Churla, getting my door egged. all of this to say, they unveiled Mike Madonna's statue last night, forever immortalized, the great number 9. And he did so much for Dallas hockey, Texas hockey in Texas. You know what I mean? There couldn't have been a more perfect situation. Just the face of the franchise, you know, the talent, the speed. I mean, this guy, I don't know if you Stars fans remember, maybe you're older Stars fans, like, I've watched them since they came here. If you're like me, there was a certain point in Madonna's career where any time he touched the puck and started, like, coming down toward the visitor's goalie, I mean, people would start standing up, people would start getting loud, people would start just cheering, because you knew that any time Madonna had that puck on a stick, there was a good chance it was going to go in. There really was. I mean, I'm sure the goaltenders felt that way too. But I remember that, you know, being at the stadium or even just watching on TV, it's like, if you see Madonna hustling down the side with his, you know, infamous jersey flapping in the wind, you were getting excited, because they were either going to, he was either the decoy to pass it off to someone to score, or he was just straight up going to score. I mean, it was exciting every single time that man had the puck. It just couldn't have been a better marriage of them moving from Minnesota, him, you know, being the face of the franchise, everything he did for us, man. It was, I'm just so happy he got a statue, you know. And I'm not going to say I'm bitter. I'm not bitter. It's cool that he got a statue, but in my honest opinion, you know, I know the Mavericks had been here a lot longer, but he should have had the statue first before Dirk. You know what I mean? Everything that he did for this organization to build up hockey, you know, I know hockey is probably the least watched sport in DFW. Probably below, yeah, I mean, everything, football, baseball, basketball, and then hockey. Quite the opposite for me. I don't feel that way, but you know, I really feel like this should have happened a long time ago. He's been the face of the franchise. He did so much. They won the Stanley Cup in 1999. I mean, just a great human being. Just as a child, you know, or as a young man growing up, what a person to look up to. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever heard any scandals about Mike Madonna? Have you ever heard anything, you know, him, you know, getting arrested because he was drunk in public? You know, no, there's never been anything like that. What a role model for a young man and all the young men in DFW that looked up to this guy. I mean, just a great human being all around. And, you know, they're, you know, doing this whole ceremony. And I mean, he's just an emotional man. Like, he, you know, he has the whole city, the whole stadium cheering for him, because, you know, we know what's about to happen. They're about to unveil the statue. And I mean, he can't keep it together. I mean, his eyes are tearing up. He's, you know, having to take a second. His voice is shaky. I love that, man. I love that. I love the emotion. He played with that passion. You know, he wasn't ever out there crying, but I mean, passion is passion, you know, either way you dice it. Like, it means a lot to him. And that's, I can't help but love the man. I can't help but love the man. Let's take this drink for Mike Madonna. Cheers, everybody. And I'm just impressed too. by the sculptor. I can't remember his name, even though they said it a million times yesterday, and I should have written it down. I'm just impressed. You know, sometimes you see these sculptures or these statues or whatever, and there's something that's kind of, like, off. You know what I mean? Like, either one of the facial features they kind of got wrong, or, you know, you can tell it's them. It's just a slightly off. And this statue, dude, I mean, it embodies Mike Modano to the fullest. Like, the facial structure is spot on. I was laughing thinking about this. Like, if I were the one having to design this statue, like, I would probably get, like, something as silly as, like, his helmet size wrong. You know what I mean? Like, the helmet on his head would be either too big or too little, and it'd make this whole statue look fucked up, you know? They just got everything right. And the statue is of Modano, you know, either picking up speed or full speed, you know, kind of like one leg crossing over the other leg, about to cross over the other leg, flex on the stick, you know, just intense look on his face, jersey flapping in the wind, of course. I mean, that's what I was just saying a minute ago. Once he got the puck back in the day and that jersey started waving behind him, you knew something was going to happen. And also, not only the proportions were correct, they look great. The facial features were great. How do you color bronze like that? Like, they nailed the color of the jersey. Everything, the socks, the pants, the gold, the green, the black. I mean, everything. Like, that's almost as impressive as just making the sculpture itself. You know what I mean? Like, that's, how do they color it like that? I mean, that Dirk statue, that thing's probably seen it rain a million times, and those colors have never faded. How do you color bronze like that? That is too cool. Because, you know, when they're talking about building a bronze statue for him, you know, you just think the whole thing is going to be bronze, and it's just going to be a bronze representation of Mike Modano. But, dude, they colored the jersey. I mean, it is epic, dude. It is so epic. That it was just such a great thing, a great night. I'm so happy for Modano and his family and his 100 million freaking kids. Good Lord. If he ain't playing hockey, you know what he's doing. Good Lord, Mikey. He deserves it. It seems like he's got a great wife. I mean, she was emotional. It looked like the kids were getting emotional too. I mean, they're just that kind of family. Heart on the sleeve. You gotta respect it, man. And I don't know if Mike Modano will ever hear this, but thank you for just being that dude. Being that good role model for, you know, a young man like me growing up, dude. The amount of times I was out on foot playing street hockey because I didn't know how to skate with my brother and my neighbors, and, you know, hockey was such a huge thing when it came here, and it has a huge amount to do with him. We didn't play hockey in the streets before 1993. Like, that wasn't a thing we did. On foot, on rollerblades, nothing. We didn't do that. You know, you might have rollerbladed, you know, but, dude, once they got here, I mean, hockey was just in. I remember they used to have the Bud Light rule of the game, or I forget how they phrased it, but they would, you know, hockey was so new here, we didn't know what the fucking offsides was. We didn't know what icing was, you know. We know what tripping is. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. What's cross-checking? What the hell does that mean? They're not allowed to hit each other, like, you know, like, we didn't know shit, so they would do this Bud Light, I forget how they phrased it, but they would basically just teach you a part of the game. And, dude, I mean, since they came here, from then on, I mean, we were hockey crazy, dude. I remember we actually got to go as kids, and we got to do a meet and greet for the Dallas Stars. And, dude, I was so nervous. This might make you laugh. I was so nervous that I shook Yuri Lehtinen's hand. I think he's the only hand I shook. My brother shook Mike Modano's hand, and I was so nervous. I was, like, kind of, like, huddled behind my brother, like, oh my God, like, there he is. And my brother shook his hand. And dude, like, I was like, you know, bugging him all the way home. I was like, let me shake you. Let me touch your hand. You shook Mike Modano's hand. And he was like, no. He was like, you know, we're being crazy about it. But he's like, I'm never washing this hand again and all this and that. And dude, once the neighborhood, once we got back home and, you know, whatever, a couple of days later, the neighborhood kids, you know, we were like, man, we got to go meet the Dallas Stars. It was so cool. And Mark, you know, my brother Mark, he got to shake Mike Modano's hand. And dude, we chased my brother around the neighborhood trying to like shake his hand. Like, I'm just saying all of this to describe to you like how huge Mike Modano was for DFW, for hockey. Like, God, dude. I remember we were so big into hockey that there were two kids who came to visit every summer, two brothers, and they were about the same age as me and my brother. I think they were pretty much the exact same age as me and my brother. So there was an older brother and a younger brother. And dude, we were just so into hockey. We got them into hockey, you know, watching games and stuff. And we would do our street hockey tournament. We got so into it that we took like these coffee cans, you know, you can buy the large coffee can, and then you can buy a smaller version of the coffee can, and then you can buy an even smaller version of a coffee can. So that's what we did. We got the big coffee can, glued the medium-sized coffee can to the top of that one, glued the small coffee can to the top of that one, and got a plastic bowl and like glued it on top, and then we wrapped the whole thing in tin foil. I mean, it was, I'm sure, a headache for my parents to, you know, like, how much tin foil do you need, you know? but we made this whole Stanley Cup, dude, and every summer they came back. There was the first summer we ever made it. We showed them, you know, we made it before they got there. They came into town. I think their grandpa was the one who lived down the street who they stayed with for the summer. And they came into town and we showed them. We're like, dude, look what we made. We made the Stanley Cup. And they're like, oh, that's so cool. So we explained to them what we're going to do. We're going to go back and forth. We're going to have a tournament every single summer, a 7-game series, best 4 out of 7. And the first year, me and my brother won it. The second year, they won it. And it was basically like, you know, the trophy was either at their grandpa's house down the street or it was at our house. If we lost it, we couldn't have the trophy. You know what I mean? I wonder whatever happened to that trophy. I'm sure it ended up in our garage years and years later. But dude, I mean, like I said, Mike Modano is just everything, man. He is hockey. He's the face of the franchise. And that's crazy because we did have so many great players. Guy Carboneau, Brett Hull, Yuri Lehtinen, Darian Hatcher, Eddie the Eagle. I mean, dude, what a stacked-ass team. But I mean, still, at the end of the day, Mike was just the face of the franchise. And I'm just really happy. I'm really happy they did that for him. In my opinion, it should have happened a long time ago. The only thing that is the sour point in my Mike Modano recollection is at the end of his career, it was kind of over with Dallas. He maybe had 1, 2, 3 seasons left to play. You know, he was an older man by this point. And he went to play for the hated rival, the Detroit Red Wings. Ugh, that broke my damn heart, dude. Forever a Dallas Star, but yeah, I mean, they were the enemy. They were the bad guy. They were the boss in the video game. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter if we're winning the Stanley Cup or not, dude. I went to so many Dallas-Detroit games at Reunion Arena, and they never ended well. They never ended well. They either ended in a brawl or they, you know, I remember one time, I can't remember who the goalie was, and I'm sure this is common practice, but as a kid, it really riled me up. But, you know, there was a big kind of like scrum in the corner for the puck. Someone had lost a stick. You know, they had to skate back to the bench. They didn't know where their stick was, just in all the confusion and all the mess. And the Detroit goalie grabs the guy's stick and he takes his skate and he steps on it and twists the stick and snaps it. Dude, the fans who saw that, I mean, we booed so loud. And, you know, not knowing that much about hockey, we're like, can he do that? Is that allowed? That should be a penalty. You know, we didn't know. It was so great, man. Detroit was the enemy. So for him to go there at the end of his career, I get it. But that did sting a little bit. I was like, no, anybody but them. Go back to Minnesota. You know, go to anybody else. Don't go to Detroit. Oh, that sucked. It's like Emmitt Smith. I mean, the Cardinals weren't our rival, but just seeing Emmitt Smith in a different uniform is like, this isn't right. This feels so wrong, you know. But anyways, aside from that, that could never tarnish his legacy ever. Ever, ever, ever. He did so much for us. It was like, if that's what you want to do, Mike, then do it, you know. And he's from Michigan, too. So, I mean, it makes sense a little bit. I'm sure he's always wanted to play for the Red Wings. But that's one of the only jerseys, hockey jerseys, I won't ever buy. And it's because of that when I was a kid. It's because of all those interactions. It was because of all those grueling games. All those, you know, sometimes we won and we got to celebrate in their face. Other times they won, and I remember, you know, them making an announcement over the PA, please do not throw things on the ice. I mean, you know, they're all skating off, and people are hitting their players with napkins in the head and empty beer cups and, you know, just like, boo, you know, you guys fucking suck. What a great time to get into hockey. And I've been a fan ever since. It is, if not, I mean, during hockey season, it's my top sport. During baseball season, I mean, baseball is my top sport. Luckily, they're, you know, on different schedules or whatever. But, yeah, those are my top two. Hockey is always going to have a place in my heart. So let's take another drink. This is for Mike Modano, forever immortalized out front of the AAC. Great sculpture, great presentation, very emotional, and we appreciate you. I'm going to speak for Dallas. We appreciate you. Cheers. All right, moving on to the AAC, just my Dallas Mavericks. I haven't looked at any standings recently. I think we're hanging in there. We're eighth place, maybe seventh if we're lucky. They might be playing tonight. I have to look. but this is what I'm talking about, man. Like, I did talk about this last week, but this is just the testament to what I was saying last week. Like, that OKC game, we just played Oklahoma City Thunder. And, you know, Oklahoma's really good. Like, they're first in our division, like, our conference, I mean. And, I mean, they're a good team, dude. And we fought. We didn't even have Luka that night. And we played physical. We fought hard. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, I can handle a loss if you don't just bend over and take it. You know, I can handle a loss if you fought your ass off, and they absolutely did. They didn't have their star player that whole game, and what did we lose by, 6 or 8? I mean, that's incredible, dude. I love to see that. I just wanted to say that so I could praise the Mavericks once again, you know, just because I love that. You know, I am a hardworking man of this area. You know, I work really hard to get where I'm at. Sorry, I'm looking for my little book here. I work really hard to, you know, get where I'm at. And when I see my sports team doing the same thing, you know, just not giving up, not giving in, I really respect that, man. And that was all without Luka. Like, we did. Just imagine if we would have had Luka. We might have won that game. I mean, you never know. Things change, obviously. The ball would be in Luka's hands a lot more, but... I just love to see it, and I just wanted to shed more light on why I'm just enjoying, even if in the losses, you know, even if we don't win the championship, like, I appreciate what the Mavericks are doing so, so much, because they're fighting. I mean, they're fighting. It doesn't matter. We might not be first place, but we're, I mean, how hard did we fight the first place team? Oklahoma probably has a good chance of winning it all this season, which I would like to see. You know, not at the expense of my Dallas Mavericks, but I've, you know, back in the day, Westbrook, Durant, Harden, that trio, dude, they got so damn close, and they were so hot for so many years, they could just never win that championship. So, yeah, I mean, I'm an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, but, you know, obviously you guys know this, not above my team. If it's us versus them to go to the NBA final, I'm gonna pick us every time, you know what I mean? Like, but if they knock us out, I'll root for you, no problem. I like the Oklahoma City Thunder, so Just wanted to praise the Mavericks for that, for proving my point that they don't give up, they don't quit. That's one of the most irritating things, too, to buy a damn ticket to a game and the team just, like, gives up or looks like they don't give a fuck. That is so maddening. It's like, I already work hard, you know, and I work hard so I could pay for this ticket and bring my family here, and you're going to play like that? Fuck you. You know what I mean? But they didn't do that, so I'm not saying fuck you, Mavericks. They played really good. They played really hard. We just came up short. I mean, 6 to 8 points short. That ain't bad, dude. That's really not bad. You know, looking at who we were playing and the standings, I mean, geez. What a good game. I'm going to take another drink. Cheers. Uh-oh, I'm almost out of drink here. The last thing I want to talk about is my Texas Rangers. Not necessarily even the Texas Rangers. A former player of the Texas Rangers. what happened, Chris? Did he set some kind of record? No. Does it have anything to do with spring training? No, it has nothing to do with spring training. It's, you know, nothing like that. Well, do you think your team's going to win the World Series? I said, that has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. This is personal. Like, Aroldis Chapman, who is no longer with the Texas Rangers, former closer, I guess you could call him. I mean, we had a couple of closers. He can throw 100 miles an hour. It's ridiculous how fast this guy can throw. So he put out this video that just had Twitter in an uproar when he first put it out. Dude, it's strange, okay? So Aroldis Chapman is laying on the couch with this older woman, and he's, like, smiling, and she's smiling, and but the only thing is he's, like, honking her tits. He's, like, grabbing one tit, honking it, kind of laughing, grabbing the other tit, kind of honking it and laughing. And, you know, groping it, I guess you could say. I think honking is a funnier word. And it was just like, I'm not going to hate on anybody. I don't care what you're into, if you're gay, if you're straight, if you like, you know, younger men, older men, younger women, older women, you know, within reason, of course, within the legal limit. I'm not going to hate on anybody. Like, it was strange the fact that this was an older woman. But, you know, like, who am I to judge? If that's what he likes, maybe she does it for him. You know, whatever. He could probably have any woman in the world that he wants, but he's laying on the couch with this. Okay, fine. Hey, Aroldis, you do you, buddy. You do you. The only thing that throws this whole thing off is that there's no context to this video that he posted. Is this his grandma? Is this his mom? Is this his girlfriend? We don't know. So it's like looking from the outside in, it's like, dude, I know he's not laying there on top of his grandma honking her titties, dude. Like, what the fuck? It's the most, and you know, I talked to some guys at work, and this guy said to me about the, you know, the whole video, because obviously we're all laughing about it, like, what the fuck is going on? You know, he's like, my friend goes, maybe it's a cultural thing. I was like, dude, I don't know what fucking culture allowed you to grab your grandma's titties on the couch and it's okay. Like, it's supposed to be play. Like, what? Or even if it's his mom, like, what the fuck is happening? It was strange, dude. I've, and the fact that he posted the video, like, he's the one that put it up. like, there's no problem with him. You know, but there's just no context to the video. We don't know who this person is, Aroldis. It can't be a cultural thing. Like, no. They don't do that in any country. Do they? It's okay to sleep with your grandma or, you know, play with their boobs or your mom. Like, it's weird, man. It's so fucking weird. I just had to, you know, throw that in there. It was one of the, we'll call it the weird video of the week. I just don't know what to make of it. Thank God he's not on the Rangers anymore. I mean, we would have got so much like hate for that shit for that. It's just a strange thing. Like I said, I'm not fetish shaming anyone. I mean, what if the fetish is, oh God, I can't even say it. I won't even say it. I won't fetish shame as far as age goes. You know, if he's into older women, a big fucking deal. I don't give a shit. I guess the only thing I would shame is if it's incest. You know what I mean? Like, and they weren't doing anything, but you don't do that, dude. You don't do that. In my opinion, in my humble opinion, you don't do that. Why would you do that? What's the purpose of... That's very sexual with someone you shouldn't be sexual with. Anyways, so yeah, there's that weird video of the week. That's going to do it for me. Episode number 321, Drink Until You Podcast, the only podcast that lasts till the last drop. Thank you, Mike Modano. Thank you, Dallas Mavericks, for playing hard. Thank you, Aroldis Chapman, for giving me another topic to talk about on this episode. Let's finish these up. If you got them, drink them. Bottoms up. Cheers, everybody. And my plastic cup. All right, guys. Be safe out there. I love you all. Don't drink and drive. Treat yourself to an Uber. Treat yourself to a Lyft. Treat yourself to a DoorDash. They'll bring it right to you. I will talk to you guys next week. I love you all. Bye.